Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrantz, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
He said, "We got grace for grace." Jeremiah put it this way, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Why are you born again? Because God loved you.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we conclude the message, A Tale of Two Cousins. Today, we will learn that Jesus is the source of natural life for all mankind, and he is also the gracious source of spiritual life for all the children of God.
And then look at this description, verse 4. This is also spoken of in verse 9, so we'll read these two. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What he is saying is that man is different than the animals. We look in creation, God creates the birds, he creates the fish, he creates the creeping things. Then he takes some dirt and he makes man out of dirt, and then it says something very specific. He created Adam, and Adam is laying there not alive. Okay? That didn't happen with all the other things. He formed all of the other things out of whatever was out there, and they were automatically alive when he did it. But when he created man, he made man out of dust, and he's laying there dead. Then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is different than animal. Man has an eternal soul. John calls that light. Every human being, whether they are a child of God or whether they are wicked, has an eternal soul. That's how they are created in the image of God. They have an eternal nature. The Bible is plain that the spirit of the beast goeth down, but the spirit of man goeth back to God who gave it. That means when an animal dies, that's it. Because they don't have the breath of life in them. They don't have the light shining in them. When we finally get that squirrel, that squirrel's not going to exist anymore, possibly. And contrary to the movie, all dogs don't go to heaven. They just die. Okay? They're here for our entertainment. Enjoy them while you can if you've got one. But what's different about man, he didn't evolve from a monkey. When a monkey dies, and he doesn't exist anymore. When man dies, he goes back to his creator. That's what John is saying right here, is what makes men different than the animal kingdom is that Jesus is the life that's in every man. That eternal soul that natural man has, he got from Jesus Christ. He is the source of all eternal life. But something's interesting. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The source of natural life shined in the world. And the world didn't know that he was there. Sin had such a grasp on the hearts and minds of men that when what made them able to live walked among them, they didn't even realize it. That also tells us something very plain. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. Because, you know, we know Satan's a liar, right? In the garden, he told Adam and Eve a lie. Let me make sure you understand that. He twisted a truth and says, God's trying to keep you from knowing something that will make you like him, that you'll know good and evil. What he wasn't telling them is that's not necessarily a good thing to know. Because what came along with that was shame. What came along with that was darkness. What came along with that was misunderstanding. He told them they would know things, but it actually made it where they couldn't see the true nature of God anymore. Adam had walked in the cool of the morning with the Lord, and all of a sudden he's hiding from him? So much so that when Creator God, when Jesus, the Son of God, walks the face of the earth, sin had blinded them so badly that they couldn't even see who he was. Satan lied. That wisdom they gained was actually darkness. So that to the point that without God, we could know nothing. Verses 10 and 11, more on this same subject. He was in the world, this is Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now there's two things that are said here. If what Satan said was true, that they're going to come to know things and be like gods, then when God walks on the face of this earth, everybody's going to know who he is. But John says it didn't happen that way. Sin's curse on creation was that the Creator walked on the earth and the creation didn't even know who he was. And not only that, he came into his own. Right here, he's talking about the Jews who had the Old Testament to tell them about Jesus, when he was coming, what he would look like, what he would be doing. And he came into his own, and they even rejected him. The natural understanding of man is so polluted by sin that even when they look at the scriptures, they can't get a clear picture of who God is. But thanks be to God that Jesus is more than just the natural light in men. Because if it was left up to us to understand who Jesus is and to save ourselves, we can see from just this testimony that we can't do it. That he came into darkness, and darkness comprehended him not. That he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. And he even came to those that he had written scriptures about himself. And they didn't understand. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, for they are spiritually discerned. Because there's something that is a tremendous blessing about Jesus that we're going to talk about now. That not only was he the source and the light of natural life, he is the source and light of spiritual life so that we can comprehend who he is. What John has described in those verses of not comprehending is what the world would be like if this other part of Jesus wasn't there. If Jesus was just the source of natural life, sin was so bad that it blinded our natural eyes to who he is. But notice what he says. We'll pick it up here now in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now let's don't get hung up on something here. The focus of these verses is not believe and get saved. The focus of these verses is not believe and get born again. The focus of these verses is not believe and become a son of God. The focus of these verses is the power of Jesus Christ. The phrases, as many as believed, that's a forensic term, meaning evidence. Meaning if you see somebody that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, they were born, he says in the next verse. The focus that John has here is actually what's missed so many times, is that Jesus is the one that has the power to give them spiritual life. Jesus is the one that grants the power to become the Son of God. Just like the light that he is to the natural man, he is the power that makes the sons of God. It is not by the power of men. It is not by the will of men. It is by the power of God. How do you become a son of God? Well, you're chosen by God before the foundation of the world. It is by his good pleasure, by his will. And it is by the power of Jesus Christ that you're born again. That's what John is saying, is just like Jesus is the source of all natural life, he is the source and power of spiritual life as well. And the phrase as many as is, it's not a condition, it's the belief. You know, there's some folks in the world that don't believe in the doctrine of election. Okay? Paul says they need to get reconciled with that. But whether they do or not, that's not the cause of life. If there is someone walking around the face of this earth that just doesn't understand the doctrine of election, but they love the Lord with all of their heart, brethren, they're elect whether they understand it or not. They're elect whether they believe it or not. It is not their belief that makes them elect, and it is not their belief that makes them a son of God. It's an evidence that they are a son. Because it is Jesus that gave them the power. What he is saying, he didn't give them a tool so that they could work out to become a son of God. What John is saying is this power of eternal life and salvation, boom, he put it in them. And Paul and John describes it this way, which were born not of blood, meaning it's not our genealogy, nor of the will of the flesh, meaning it's not a work that we physically do. When we are baptized, it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. That doesn't make you a son of God. You need to do it. But that doesn't make you a son of God. You need to do it because you are already a son of God. Then he says also, it is not of the will of man. It's not something that we profess and become a son of God. It's not something we say, well, I accept it and become a son of God. We don't have the power to do those. The natural man doesn't know who he is. So why would he accept him? Doesn't recognize. He says, this is a poor guy over here. And his prophet is a guy that eats bugs. Why should I follow him? But if for some reason you understand who he is, it is because you were born of God. And Christ gave you that power to become a son of God. Makes it possible for you to believe. God chose you by His will. Paul quotes in Romans chapter 9, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And then Jesus teaches the same thing. God chose you by mercy according to his grace. And you are born again by that same mercy and that same grace. John explains it to Nicodemus. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is by the power of God. Verse 14 again now. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, didn't John just say that he came into his own and his own received him not? That the Creator was there and the creation didn't know who he was? That he came into darkness and the darkness comprehended him not? And now he says, but we behold him? There's something different about these folks. What's different about them is they have been born of the Spirit of God. They not only have the natural light from Christ, they have this spiritual light as well, and they saw who Jesus was. They saw that when he caused a blind man to see, that was God causing a blind man to see. They saw that when Jesus changed water into wine, that this wasn't a parlor trick, that this was God who created the elements, controlling the elements. They saw that when Jesus spoke to a man possessed of a demon and the demon left him, that it was God driving out the demon. They saw that when the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda met the omnipotent Son of God, and he said, take up thy bed and walk, they saw that it was God. You know, there was a fellow named Herod that liked seeing the magic tricks. That's the reason he wanted to see Jesus. He was seeing with just those natural eyes and didn't comprehend who Jesus was. But there were some that were born of the Spirit of God, just like you and I, just like you and me, that see these things, see these miracles, and say, this is God. And John, this evangelist, with a couple other fellows, got to see something amazing. Remember, we talked about that on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus was different than Elijah. They saw that Jesus was different than Moses. They saw Jesus in his glory. Those born again can recognize who he is, because Jesus is the source of that life. And look at the description, that he is full of grace and truth. They have a deeper understanding of this fellow from Nazareth, that he's not just a poor guy who had an interesting birth. He's not just a smart fella. He is full of grace. You know what that means? It means that Jesus Christ never tried to do anything. You know, we try to do stuff and we don't always get it done. We might fail at it. Jesus Christ never tried anything. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and brethren, he saved them. He is full of grace. What he came to do, he did. And it was not a partial work. And he's also full of truth. I'm going to put it to you plainly. As we study about this man who is God, Jesus Christ, everything about him is true and is right. If you want to know what righteousness is, look at Jesus Christ. I'll quickly finish this out now. Verses 16, 17, and 18. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The children of God receive of the fullness of God in the new birth. And I love this phrase. And for grace, we got grace. Grace is a free gift. And so for a free gift, you know what we got? A free gift. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a free gift and then give you something to do. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a free gift and then give you something to believe. He said, we got grace for grace. Jeremiah put it this way, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Why are you born again? Because God loved you. He had grace on you in election. Therefore, he has grace on you in the new birth. Because God had this grace on us, we receive this grace. Because, brethren, the knowledge and the obedience to the law, all that is superficial things. That's an understanding of who God is. Salvation is by grace plus nothing. It is all in the power of Jesus Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The way we are saved didn't come out of the law or our obedience to it. The way we are saved is in Jesus Christ. And then notice this. No man has seen God at any time. You think about, well, didn't Moses? We'll get there. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What John is saying is, yes, Moses may have seen the hinder parts. But who did Moses see? He saw Jesus. What John is saying is that anytime anyone saw God, they were seeing Jesus. Because Jesus is God. He is the one that declares everything that we need to know about God we find in Jesus Christ. Notice what I said. It's not everything we know, it's everything we need to know about God. You don't need to try the experiments of the world to learn more about God. Brethren, we have the testimony of who God is, and he is Jesus Christ. Learn more about Jesus, and you'll know more about God. Because in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what have we learned this morning about these two cousins? We learned that a forerunner was promised. John the Baptist is that forerunner. John said that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God. And brethren, if John is the promised forerunner, and he was sent from God, then his message must be true. Therefore, Jesus must be the Christ. Believe on him. We also learn this. Jesus is the source of all natural life. Jesus is the source of all spiritual life. And Jesus is the source of all truth. So you want to learn more about Jesus? Here's what I want you, if you don't remember anything at all, here's what I want you to remember. This book, this Bible, is about Jesus.
Victorious God, what can we pay for favor?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. For more information about this podcast or Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church, please visit our website at bhpbc.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.